Hello, and welcome to Sunday Messages with Fairmount Friends Church. We're so glad that you are joining us. You can find out more on www.fairmountfriendschurch.org. Here's Pastor Brock Meyer.
Kathy, what's pretty cool is Carolyn recently had her mother pass away, and I'm sure with a heavy heart she gets up there and still talks about God and his love, and that's pretty cool, isn't it? In the midst of loss, to still sing about how awesome Jesus is pretty neat. So thank you for sharing with us this morning. Andrew and I next week are going to be tag teaming in our State of the Union address, the state of our Quaker Church address. It has been 1 year since we both kind of made a move in our life. And I made a move for my full-time job to be outside of the four walls while Andrew moved in to make this his full-time job. And we just want to give an update. Where are we? How's it going? Is the church suffering? Are we still existing? Are we thriving, surviving, dying? Where are we at? And to kind of talk about some of those things, the pros of this move, the cons of this move, and maybe some areas that we can continue to grow and develop. So looking forward to that next week. We'll kind of both share our perspectives of how things have gone this past year. If you would, grab your Bibles with me and turn to John chapter 9. If you're using our Bibles here, it's page 758. And we're going to continue on our series of living sent, or having a life that is on mission. John chapter 9, or page 758, excuse me. Coming over here this morning, came over and I had Judah and Ronnie with me, and we were unlocking the church and opening the building. As I unlocked the doors and flipped the lights on, come through and just kind of smell the sanctuary. Y'all know this place has a smell, the old wood and I don't know, just the feel of the place. You just got that smell to it, and I'm making some copies, and the kids are opening the elevator. That's their favorite thing, is to unlock that door, and we're flipping on lights. There's a couple bulletin inserts in there that were cut pretty sloppy. That was Judah, and I wanted to leave those in there in the sense of sometimes the Father gives us roles and responsibilities that we don't always crush it, and yet he still entrusts us with it. Isn't that true? And what we're going to talk about today is living sent, is he has entrusted us as messengers. We're kind of the middleman of his message, and we're entrusted to take care of something that we don't have a clue what we're messing with here. And he hands it over to us? Whew, that is a heavy task, isn't it? I know even whenever I tell somebody, hey, tell this person to tell them, and I want to double check 4, 5, 6 times, did you quote me right? Like, I want to make sure that this was handled correctly. And yet he entrusts his character, isn't that something? His integrity, his message to people. And maybe you got a jacked up bulletin insert today. It's a picture of the bride of the church just trying to carry out this message, not perfectly, but effectively. It made it to your bulletin. And effectively, we want to try to communicate this gospel. As we talked about last week, I am more apt to love my neighbor the more I'm in love with Jesus. When I get enamored with the cross, and I get just undone and snockered at the cross, and the weight of his forgiveness is on me, it's hard to look at my neighbor and be frustrated or embittered. But whenever I am enamored with my neighbor's weaknesses and frustrations, it's hard for me to set my eyes upon the cross. And it really does matter which one I prioritize to fix my gaze upon, because whatever I gaze upon is what I will go after. And if my gaze is on the cross, I will go after those that can continue to have encounters with the cross. So if I don't have encounters with the cross, I won't have encounters with my neighbor. This won't. I won't, because I get really selfish. If I look at the cross, I get undone for what he's done for me, and my life starts focusing outward at that point. Yesterday at our house, this was like a first. We had nothing scheduled on Saturday. And I say nothing. Of course, we had our men's group, and so we had discipleship in the morning. But after that, we had nothing else going on. I'm thinking, man, this is going to be so restful, peaceful, hanging with the kids, playing, whatever. Alyssa had a different idea. She thought we should clean the house. And so she said, hey, we need to clean both bathrooms. I thought, great, I can do that. So I walk in there, I pick up my shoes. Hey, bathroom's clean. And I flush the toilet also. You never know what's going on in there. Flush that toilet. Hey, we're all set. Her idea of cleaning was a little bit deeper cleaning. And scrubbing down the shower and the toilets. And I actually picked up the trash and put it in the trash can. Her idea was take the trash out of the trash can to the dumpster, right? There was a little bit more to it. We were going to go a little bit deeper in that. And if I could encourage us that the Christian life is just a little bit more than just showing up on Sundays. It's a little bit deeper than just coming here. And I'm not opposed to that. Man, I'm a pastor. I hope we have people come to church. But if our goal was only to gather and never to be sent, then man, we've missed the biggest part of the Great Commission of the gospel. It's not enough just to hear Jesus. The call is to live like Jesus lived. Are y'all with me? And so we just don't want to be this gathering place. We want to do the stuff that he did. Now maybe your first entry is, hey, I'm just trying to show up on Sundays. Awesome. We want that. We want that to be your first step. And if that's where you're at, great. Continue to do that. Over the course of time, we want some maturation to take place, a little bit maturing and some depth to come, more than just picking our shoes up out of the bathroom. We want to deep clean that thing, right? And so go a little bit deeper. And so what we're talking about today is just a little bit deeper. And what we talked about last week was for us to live sent. And I just want to give us a couple practicals whenever you think, I don't know how to share the gospel. I don't know how to maybe to reach out to my neighbor, or I don't know really what I'm supposed to do to share who this person of Jesus Christ is. As Jesus is getting ready to ascend, he just lived his life. He's now ascending. He went to the cross, resurrection. It's now Matthew chapter 28. And in verse 19, he says this. He says, as you go, preach the gospel to all nations and make disciples and baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And lo, I'll be with you always, even until the end of the age. What I love about this is Jesus says, as you go, as you are going about your day, as you're going about your life on mission, as you are going to the grocery, as you're going to school, as you're going to your job, as you're going home, as you're going to your family reunion, preach the gospel, make disciples, live this life in front of the people. How many of y'all know we live in a on-the-go society? It is on the go. We need it fast. We need our fast food. We want the internet quick. We want everything fast. Go, 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 go. And Jesus said, the gospel shouldn't suffer as we go. We should just continue to live like Jesus. As we're on the move, just continue to model this thing. So Jesus is starting off his ministry in John chapter 1. And these were the disciples of John the Baptist. John the Baptist was Jesus' cousin. Is that kind of cool? Man, talk about a gene pool that's just loaded. Man, tap into that. But anyway, he was the cousin, and John the Baptist had some disciples around him, and they're asking, who is this Jesus guy that everybody's talking about? Is he the real deal? And they say, we've seen his miracles, and he looks like the Son of God or the Messiah. We've seen, and it looks like. And then Jesus is passing by John the Baptist, and John the Baptist says, look, behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sins. I just want to emphasize that they're looking and they're seeing something. They're going to look and they're going to see. Later on in John chapter 1, people are coming up to Jesus and they say, Jesus, what's your life about? Where do you live? What do you do? And in John chapter 1 and verse 39, Jesus says, come and see. And he just invites them into his life. Come and see where I live. Come and see what I do. Come and see how I do marriage. Come and see how I raise my kids. Come and see how I study the Bible. Come and see how I do my business with integrity. Come and see how I can impact this village and this community. Come and see how I have a heart for whatever. Jesus says, check it out. The proof should be in the pudding. Just look at our lives. If we would say, look and see, or come and see, what would people come to see? What would there be anything that would point them to Jesus? Would they be inspired by that marriage, by those kids, by that job, by that work ethic? I don't know. Whatever we would invite them in to see, would it point to a larger reality, namely the Son of God? It's a good question to ask, to come and see. As we go to share our faith, sometimes we get tripped up and just wanting to share theological points. Man, I got to understand this. It's so heavy. Okay, I got to try to explain salvation, sanctification, how we look more and more like the image of the Son of God. Golly, Romans chapter 8 and 9, that was heavy. I don't know how to communicate that. Like, it can just get overwhelming sometimes. Alyssa, at one point, she called up one of her high school friends and wanted to share her faith. She was inspired. She was motivated to share her faith. And so she reached out to her friend and tried to share the gospel of Jesus, and it went a little something like this.
So I said to my friend who'd never heard about Jesus, I said, hey, let's go grab lunch. And I know, going into it, I'm going to tell her about Jesus. And so we sit down, and I said, hey, and I've got butterflies in my stomach. I've never really shared the gospel. I'm in, like, eighth grade. And I said, can I tell you about Jesus? And she's like, sure. It's like, okay. And I immediately went, tried to explain the whole process. You know, God sent his son. This woman had, you know, never known a man. And, but God put his seed inside of this woman, and it was God's son. And as I'm starting to explain it, I'm talking myself out of my own salvation. Like, this sounds crazy. How did I ever believe this? And so I'm like, okay, but Alyssa, like, keep going. You'll get better. Keep going. And so then I start saying, so then he was raised and he performed miracles. And then, you know, he wanted to take sin on himself so we didn't have to be in chains and bondage. And so, but he had to die. And again, I'm starting to explain this, and I'm thinking of every reason why this sounds absolutely crazy. Like, why would she believe this? I'm even combating, I'm arguing with myself, like, things that maybe she could be thinking to, like, come back at me of why this sounds crazy or how could this be true? And so I literally get so fumbly in my head that I am now, like, babbling, and I quickly just said, you know, never mind, let's just talk about something else. I was so embarrassed, and from that point, like, it took me a long time, and I told my dad, I said, I'm never doing that again. I don't know how to explain. I believe it with all my heart, but I don't know how to explain this story, this thing. And he said, Alyssa, you are going about this. You're trying to explain something that's almost unexplainable. You know, you're trying to take the heady approach. He goes, share from your heart. What did he do for you? You know, it was that once I was blind, now I can see. Do you, like, go watch a movie, and then if you just love it and you are changed by it and affected by it, do you go and you tell somebody about it and how it moved you and what it did inside of you? It's your own testimony, your own personal testimony. He's like, I go, oh, yeah, well, I can do that. And he goes, that's all you have to do. So I was like, oh, and it took me a long time before I tried that again. But now it's so much better, because it is. It's way more easy to share your own personal experience with Jesus versus, like, a theology.
Yeah. That's great. Good, good. Anybody ever been there? You've tried to explain it, and you end up explaining yourself out of your own faith. That's not a good evangelist. But there's a better way, right? There's a better way to do it, and it's the power of story. I don't know if anybody saw or you watched the Democratic debate, but as Kamala Harris got up at the end, she shared her story. The power of story, you're kind of just blown away, like, whoa, I'm moved by the story of this woman. There's something about story that can move the human heart. Jesus was not a fool, as he taught. He told stories all the time. was the power of Jesus. He's like, hey guys, let me tell you what the kingdom of God is like. It's like these farmers, they go out. Let me tell you what the farmers do. They go out and they plant these seeds. It's like these barns. They went and bought this land. He tells stories all of the time. It's the power of story. And so one of the best things that we have in the arsenal of sharing our faith is our own story. Now, either Jesus has saved you, he set you free, he's taken you on this journey, and I'm not saying that he's made your life perfect, but he has brought you through some stuff. You just share that. You share what he has brought you through. You say, you know what, I don't know how to explain all of the deeper things, but I can tell you what he's done in my life, and here's what he did in the power of my heart. Let me just share my story with you. In John chapter 9, are y'all there yet? John chapter 9, we see this story where Jesus heals the blind man, and it says, this is so cool, in verse 1, as he went along. Isn't that neat? Just talking about Jesus, as he's living his life, as Jesus was heading off to work, as Jesus was going over to help out his friend, as Jesus saw his neighbor across the street, as Jesus was going along, isn't that neat? He saw a blind man from birth. The disciples come up and they're like, Jesus, what's going on? Did he sin? Did his parents sin? Why is his life cursed? Like, what's going on? They kind of get caught up in this little thing. Jesus does a little teaching here. And then Jesus spits in the mud, creates little mud pies, wipes it in the guy's face, and then he tells him to do something. And he sends him. And he says that you need to go dip yourself, or you need to go bathe, wash in the pool of Siloam. And the word Siloam means sent. Interesting. If you want to see, you got to go wash in the pools of sent. Huh. And not sent like a smell, sent like going on mission. As he comes back, all of his neighbors, it kind of stirs this whole thing in the community because everybody in the village knew this guy. He was a blind beggar. Can you give me some money? Can you give me some money? Everybody knew who he was. So it provokes this thing all throughout the village, and they're saying, what's going on with this guy? Maybe he looks like this guy, but it's really somebody else. The religious leaders show up. They're wanting to judge and criticize everything. And not only is Jesus, he's not, you know, this God person that's able to heal. It surely couldn't have been Jesus. But he did it on the Sabbath. God knows we can't heal people on Sundays. Well, it would have been Saturday in the Jewish day. Well, but whatever the Sabbath is, we can't heal on that day. And so it kind of drew out this big stink. So then they're interviewing this guy. They're saying, well, what happened? Explain what's going on. Who is this Jesus person? And he's being taken to task just because Jesus healed him. And now it's on him. There's this hard thing that he's going through. Is that you, Janie? That's cute. That's her cell phone whistling. I was like, man, somebody is so bored with this message, they're just going to start whistling. We'll wait for you. Go ahead. Finish this, if you want to take the call. It sounds important. Oh, man. Still can't find it. Well, I can't wait till it comes back up again. And then the voicemail, it's a duck that starts quacking or something. And here's the deal. Here's what happens is the guy says, listen, and he tries to explain it. He did this, and Jesus did this, and he tries to explain it. And he goes, listen, I don't know. He says, all I do know is this. Once I was blind, but now I can see. That's what I know. Once my marriage was heading south, and now we're thriving. That's what I know to be true. I don't know how to explain it, but once my kids were running in the wrong direction and God supernaturally changed their heart, I don't know, but now they're living for Jesus and our family's restored. I don't know what else to say. I don't know, but I kind of started following this Jesus guy, and there was a couple books that I read, and I got into a life group, and some people started loving on me. My heart got freed up. I don't know how to explain the science of it. It's not even scientific. It's supernatural. Something got reworked in my heart, and now my heart's alive. Again, I once was so heavy and sorrowful and depressed, and my heart has been liberated and set free. I don't know, once I was blind, but now I see. And he just started sharing his story of what God had done in his heart. You don't have to get theological. Just say what he's done in you. The power of that is supernatural. The power of your testimony is one of the most powerful tools that we have on the face of the earth. In Revelation, actually, chapter 12 and verse 11, it says that we overcome by the blood of the Lamb and by the power of our testimony. We have this testimony that I can talk about that says this is what Jesus has done in my life. Think about three people right now. Would you think about three people that are in your life that are not put there by accident? God has put them, that they are far from the Lord, that he would have you to maybe call them this week, just to start praying for them, to reach out. Maybe you interact with them at your job. You see them often whenever you go into the bank, whenever you go to the checkout line, whatever it is. And what's something that's a piece of your story that you could share with somebody else? Can we make this thing incredibly simple and practical? Here's what he has done in my life. This is what he's done. I'm going to wrap with this. Perhaps as you're looking at trying to resource some people, maybe they've come into a relationship with the Lord and they're just trying to grow and to develop. Maybe you've got young kids and you're trying to point them to Jesus and you don't know what to say. Can I show you just a couple resources that have been big in either my life or my family? This is what I've done with my kids. We have this book. It's called Bible Force. We call it the Hero Bible. The first Hero Bible is what we have. And you open it up here, and it's almost like a script. They've got pictures, and there's like quotes, and here they're telling the story, and here's the 10 plagues it looks like, and you flip back, and here's the story of Jesus, and they've got quotes. This is amazing for your kids because you see it being acted out in front of you. Something also that we do is however old they are, we tape that much money in the back of the book. So by the time you get done with the book, this is Judah's, there's $8 waiting for you. We're going to incentivize the disciplines that we want in our kids. We're going to pay them to read. We are. We're going to pay them to sharpen themselves. We want our kids to be readers. So we're going to incentivize the disciplines that we want. So they get to the end of the book, $8 is sitting right here. Judah rips that out. Thank you very much. And move on. Judah, you want another book? Here's another book. $8. Well, now he's $9. Now there's $9 taped into the back of this thing. Go read it. We're going to pay you for the rest of his life. When he turns 20, $20 are in the back of that book. 25, there's 25 bucks in the back of that book. I'm gonna pay a discipline for what I want to develop in him. Might be something great. Maybe you do that with your kids. Maybe they're 30, they're 50. Who knows what it is? But invest in that and see to it. As you get older, maybe it's hard to understand the Bible. Maybe the Bible's just hard, man. It's way over my head, and I'm trying to sit with my neighbor. I just don't know how to communicate. Then I believe that devotional books are incredibly helpful. This is just very practical, but one of the most classics is The Utmost for His Highest. This is the book by Oswald Chambers, and as I pulled this out today, I looked in the front cover, and this was given to Mr. and Mrs. Ronald Johnson Jr., my pastor from Crown Point, April 1986. I would have been 4 at the time. And now it's in my hands because my pastor sowed it into my life. And I want to continue to sow it into someone else's life. I had lunch with a young man this week in high school. I asked him, I was like, do you have any sort of a Bible that kind of invites you into the story? And he's like, no, it's just black letters on white pages. I was like, anything that's kind of like has like little sidebars or explains it better. He goes, no. Well, he said, when Jesus talks, it goes red. I was like, well, that's cool, but maybe there's other tools that we can help with that. And he goes, yeah, it's just over my head, and then I just get bored. And that's just the reality of it. Are there other tools and resources that can come alongside to help with those things, whether it's kids or high schools, whoever it is in your life, let us know. And as a church, we want to equip you to help disciple your neighbors, your friends and family. However we can do it, we want to evangelize, witness, disciple make throughout our community, right? And so reach out, say, hey, I need help with this. Maybe I need help telling my own story. Whatever it is, let's just get back to the principles and just the practicals of how simple it is to share our faith with others. Amen, we can do this. We can deep clean the bathroom. We can go a little bit deeper. Come on, we can go a little bit deeper and start to live the life that Jesus has called us to live. Would you all stand with me as we close this morning? Jesus, we thank you that you can invite us to go deeper. There's more to this thing. And Lord, I pray that you would strengthen everybody's faith this morning to live the way that you've called us to live, to come and see as you've invited us in. Lord, I pray that we would be a church that invites people into our lives. Come and see how I steward my time. Come and see how I live my life. Come and see how we operate this Christian life. And Lord, that we would live it well. We would encourage the story of Jesus Christ in people's lives. And we just thank you for that. And we honor you, Lord. We pray that you would just set free your people to live with confidence to share the faith in our community. In Jesus' name, amen.
So we're so glad you were with us today. You can subscribe on iTunes or Spotify or your preferred podcasting app. Be sure to rate us so other people can know about the podcast.